Right. That one's excited for the sermon. It's good. With the new year comes New Year's resolutions, and many people make these promises or these goals that they want to pursue in the new year. It's like a corrective they want to bring into their lives. Something is off, and they want to correct it. They want to realign again. Time magazine has a list of the top 10 most broken New Year's resolutions. Guess what's number one? Weight. Yes, number one, lose weight, get fit. Number two, quit smoking. Number three, learn something new. Number four, get healthier and diet. Number five, get out of debt, save money. Number six, spend more time with family. Number seven, travel to a new place. Number eight, be less stressed. Number nine, volunteer more. And number 10, drink less. So those are the top 10 most broken New Year's resolutions. And of course, there are countless top 10 lists on how to keep your New Year's resolutions. Well, I was reading through 2 Chronicles recently, and I came across a great New Year's resolution for worshipers of God to pursue. And here it is. Wholeheartedly living to please the Lord. Wholeheartedly living to please the Lord. Isn't that an awesome one? Well, of course you're going to say yes. We're at church on Sunday morning. Who's going to say, no, it's not a good one? What this requires is starting the year and continuing the year with looking deeper at our hearts, examining our hearts, so we are actually loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And looking at God's interaction with King Uzziah in 2 Chronicles 26 is very helpful in this. For we see how good God is and what we should look out for in being a wholehearted worshiper of God. Or to look out for and pay attention to so that we can be wholehearted worshipers of God. So we're going to look at this 2 Chronicles chapter 26 chapter. But before we do, let's join our hearts in prayer. So Father, I'm assuming many of us want to worship you more with all of our heart, with everything that we are. We want to worship you. And Lord, we know that we stumble or we reject that. But Lord, our desire is to surrender and be all yours and live for you. So Lord, we ask that you would change us and that you would open our eyes this morning through this passage. Speak to us individually, bring things up, bring conviction and encouragement that is for each of us, so that we can be wholehearted, that we can start this year living for you in that way. We ask this with trust and dependence on the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So King Uzziah, he reigned in Judah for 52 years, from 790 to 738 BC. And he came into power when he was 16 years old. 16 years old. That's Esten's age. 16 years old. Imagine having a 16-year-old prime minister. King Uzziah was put into power because his father, King Amaziah, was assassinated. So it must have been quite the time for Uzziah, mourning the loss of his dad, and then get thrown into ruling a kingdom. And in verse 4, we get a summary of what God thought of Uzziah. It says, he did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight. So Uzziah did what was right according to God. But it says a little bit more. It says that he lived this right way just as his father Amaziah had done. Which is odd, because if you read through 2 Chronicles chapter 25, we find that Amaziah brought idols home with him from the enemies that he defeated. And he worshipped them. He turned away from the Lord. Chapter 25 verse 2 says, King Amaziah did not follow God wholeheartedly. So what does this all mean? How, you know, he did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight just as his father had done. It means that Uzziah did not wholeheartedly worship the Lord. There were definitely moments and times and circumstances where he did follow the Lord. He was obedient. But as 2 Kings 15 verse 4 points out, King Uzziah copied his father in that he did not destroy the pagan shrines where the people offered sacrifices and burned incense. So he allowed pagan worship to keep on going. Some God-glorifying moments and behavior definitely happened, but also this accommodation of pagan worship. Plus, the prophets Hosea and Amos were alive during this time, and their preaching also indicates that there was serious moral and spiritual decay going on during Uzziah's reign. So Uzziah did live right, but not fully. There was obedience, but not full obedience. There was surrender to the Lord, but not full surrender. Verse 5 says he sought the Lord when his mentor was around, a guy named Zechariah. Uzziah listened to his instructions on the Lord, to fear the Lord, to live in reverence of the Lord, but that seemed to stop when Zechariah was gone. But when Uzziah lived pleasing to the Lord blessed this guy. In verses 6 to 14, there's a list of some of those successes. He had this huge army that was well supplied and very skilled, and they won many wars. His land produced good crops. He had well-built cities. This guy was blessed, and his reputation spread all the way to Egypt. He was a very powerful king. But it all changed. That lack of wholehearted worship of the Lord always shows itself. It works its way out. It can't stay dormant. And in verses 15 to 16, when Uzziah became powerful because of the many blessings the Lord gave to him, things changed. It says, the Lord helped him wonderfully until he became very powerful. But when he had become powerful, he also became proud, which led to his downfall. He sinned against the Lord his God by entering the sanctuary of the Lord's temple and personally burning incense on the altar. Uzziah, he was chugging along, pleasing the Lord, doing what the Lord wanted him to do, and enjoying the blessings of the Lord. Peace, wealth, comfort, things going well. But his heart had a place reserved for himself and therefore reserved for the rejection of the authority and the leading of the Lord. Uzziah looked at the greatness of the kingdom and thought to himself, look what I have done. Look at this great empire I have created. It was no longer a great kingdom built by God. It was his great empire that he created. His pride was just waiting to be fired up, to be invited full on into being lived out. And here it was, rejecting God's command on how he said he is to be worshipped. God said in passages like Exodus 30 and Numbers 18 that incense burning in the sanctuary at the temple was exclusively the role of the priests. That's how God said it was to be done. But here is Uzziah, not a priest, going in and doing it himself. Now we might think, well, what's the big deal? It's just burning some incense. The incense is being burnt. It shouldn't matter who does it. Yet this incense burning is a very serious offense against the Lord. In Numbers chapter 18, verse 7, the Lord is speaking to Aaron, the first official priest, and he said, you and your sons with you shall guard your priesthood for all that concerns the altar and that is within the veil, and you shall serve. I give your priesthood as a gift, and any outsider who comes near shall be put to death. So if you're not a priest and you're trying to do priestly things at the altar, you will die. That's what the Lord said. That's what he had in place in the tabernacle and temple days. What he says is always a big deal. Worship of the Lord is dictated and determined by the Lord, how he wants to be worshiped when his kids come together. And today, like back then, our worship time is based on God's word. Preach God's word, read God's word, pray God's word, sing God's word, and show God's word through communion and baptism. It's not about whatever is cool, whatever is trendy, whatever you feel like doing, just go ahead and do. Because God is just this great big grandfather who doesn't care how he's worshipped. That's not true. He has told us how he wants to be worshipped. So Uzziah goes in and does this thing. Goes and burns incense. And with this threat of being struck down dead, 9 priests went in after King Uzziah and confronted him. They took the Lord's word seriously and told the king, "This is work for only the priest. Get out!" But Uzziah's pride was well rooted. He actually thought he didn't need to obey God, that he could adjust God's word, or God's word didn't apply to him. Pride had blinded him into thinking that he was special, that somehow he was God's equal in some way and could adjust God's commands. And so he got mad at the priests for stopping him and for correcting him. How dare they correct the king? How dare they stop the king from doing what he wanted? Don't they know who he is? And he refused to set down the incense burner. "I'm not listening to you. Who do you think you are?" But who cares if King Uzziah is mad? God got mad at him. And as King Uzziah stood there before the altar with his prideful heart and sinfully holding the incense burner, God gave him a skin disease right there, right on his forehead for all to see. Immediate judgment, immediate discipline. The priests knew the Lord brought this skin disease, and King Uzziah also knew it, and they got that king out of there. The king knew then and there that he is not above God's word. He is not special. He is not above being warned and told what to do by God's priests who bring God's word. He knew at that moment he was messing around with the sovereign Lord. And even though he had experienced the blessings of the Lord pouring out his love and joy onto King Uzziah, that is never, ever a license to go and do your own thing, to disregard the Lord, to treat him like someone who is no big deal. That day, King Uzziah received discipline. He received judgment from the Lord that lasted the rest of his life. Because in those days, what always happened to victims of a skin disease was immediate quarantine. So Uzziah's great monarchy, this kingdom that he built, this great reputation, all of it was severely disabled. He couldn't rule anymore. And he had to transfer power to his son while he himself lived in isolation. King Uzziah started good, really good. Everything looked awesome. But resting in his heart was pride, and it slowly took over. And he sinned against the Lord. big time. The lovingly heavenly Father disciplined him, yet it was a tough discipline, with Uzziah suffering from leprosy and in isolation for the remainder of his life. And when we look at this story, I think we realize very quickly that going King Uzziah's way comes easy to us. Enjoying God's blessing and allowing pride to grow in our hearts can and does happen to all of us, every one of us. You know, we live in a really good country where life is really easy here. We don't work to survive, but rather we work to supply our comforts. We work to supply ourselves with entertainment. We work to pay off excessive living. We've got peace and wealth, and we came to know the Lord in this environment of peace and of wealth. And we truly experience peace with the Lord and newness of life and communion with the Lord and an understanding of God's word and a growing understanding that life is centered on the Lord. Life is good, really good. But we easily begin to take God's kindness and his grace for granted. We look at life not with gratitude, but expectancy. We deserve this good life, and it should get better. And like Uzziah, we don't look at our lives anymore thinking, look what God has done. We are so blessed. No, we don't do that anymore. Rather, we start seeing it as things that exist for us. Jobs, materials, people, they exist for our pleasure, for us to use. Blessings are no longer blessings, but things to possess. And we start seeing ourselves as the ones that need to be served, that need to be supplied with what we want. And this pride grows in our hearts, and we become infatuated with ourselves, with our needs, with our wants, with our desires, with our feelings. And we change from wanting to please God to wanting to please ourselves. Our discernment is governed by how I feel in the moment and not according to God's clearly given word. And we start doing what we want to do. We start deciding what we want to do. We can even read a devotional story every day, think it's great, yet still be all about ourselves, using the devotional to make ourselves feel good while disobeying God like Uzziah. Pride is very, very powerful. It hardens us to God's word to the point where we don't even understand God's word. And pride refuses God's word coming to us from Christian brothers and sisters. We don't accept warnings or challenges or questions about what we are doing. We write them off as negative people or haters or immature or people who think they are better than us and just go around telling everybody what to do. Yet this passage, we see ourselves in Uzziah. This passage is just a snapshot of what a prideful heart is like, what it's capable of doing. It's evil. It sucks the life out of people and makes us enemies of God and his word. So we have got to examine ourselves before the Lord in prayer and with God's word. We have got to do that. Because we get tricked into thinking that we're doing fine, and we've got this nice reservation in our heart for pride, and it doesn't stay there. It's not satisfied with a corner. It never is. We've got to examine our hearts. And thanks be to God, God is so good to us. God is God is so gracious and merciful to Uzziah. He gave him 9 priests that loved the Lord so much that they warned Uzziah and confronted him of his sin. God didn't just leave Uzziah alone in his sin. He sent 9 priests after him to rescue him. You know, you 9 guys, you know what I said about anyone going in there who is not a priest and burning incense. You know what I said. You love me. You love your king. Now get in there. Get that guy out of there. God is so good. So good. And he's so good to us. I really don't think we get this. I don't think I get this, how good God is to us, in that he has given us, you and I, to each other. I don't think we get that. He has given us to each other to truly love each other. And when we are all hopped up on pride and we cannot see right, then God sends us our brothers and sisters to help snap us out of our prideful, sinful blindness. He is that good. He is that good. And the thing is that we have to actually listen to our brothers and sisters who come to us, like the priest that came to Uzziah. We have to listen to them who come to us and give us correction from Scripture. We have to let them love us away from our sin. We need it. And we actually have to be willing to go to each other with Scripture and say, hey, Edgar, no. Look what it says right here. And what you're doing, it's not lining up. I love you, man. And I love the Lord, and I'm not letting you go. Look, stop. We are important to each other in our pursuit of wholehearted worship of the Lord. You are important to me, and I'm important to you. We're important to each other. And like God disciplining Uzziah, he also disciplines us. He pulled Uzziah away from the sin. He struck him with that skin disease, not just as outright punishment, but to snap him away from his sin, to wake him up to his sin, to restore him back to worshiping the Lord. God disciplines us too, so that our pride will die, and so we will enjoy him more and more, fully worshiping him. So maybe, just maybe, some of those things that are going on in your life that you've written off as just bad stuff, or why is that happening to me? Maybe some of that stuff is God's discipline in your life. Maybe some of that God has allowed in your life to get you to stop walking along thinking that you're number one and you're awesome. And to get you on your knees and say, Lord, I can't do this. I never could. You are the Lord. Forgive me for being so self-reliant. Forgive my pride. Maybe he's allowing that stuff there to get you on your knees, to bring you back to him in worship and dependence on him. Sin is subtle, and pride is always working at getting embraced by us. Always, always. And we need to stay humble before the Lord, before the cross, aware of our propensity to embrace pride, and we need to be examining our hearts to see where our pride is settling in. We need to stay humble with each other and looking out for each other with Scripture and listening to each other. We need to learn to recognize God's discipline and embrace it. This will help us live wholeheartedly for the Lord. It will. When I think about living wholeheartedly for the Lord, I think back to when my boys were just tiny little guys, and I would grab them and I would throw them up into the air and then I would catch them. Do you guys do that with your kids? Probably. And I got to a point where I could whip them up pretty high into the air and they would just love it, and then I would catch them. Now they can do that to me. Right on. When we started that throwing game, the boys didn't fully trust me. They didn't fully surrender to me, so to speak. So they would grab my shirt on the way up, and it would throw everything off and even make it dangerous. But when they fully obeyed my directions and surrendered fully, wholeheartedly, not trying to grab me, then they would experience this great ride in the air, so high as though they were flying. And then they'd come back down and Dad would catch them. And then, poof, back up in the sky. They would experience that. Uzziah didn't surrender wholeheartedly to the Lord and therefore didn't experience truly being alive in the Heavenly Father's care. We can live wholeheartedly in that way. That is possible. Why? Because of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus came and freed us from slavery to sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 6 to 7 says, "We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin." We died with Christ. We live in Christ, free. And the Holy Spirit is changing us, making us more like Christ. We can live wholeheartedly for the Lord. We can. It's the new year, 2016. Maybe you've been thinking about your worship of the Lord and have this desire, this craving for more wholehearted worship, a life that is surrendered to the Lord, laying everything down before him, enjoying him, not wanting pride to sneak in. Well, church, make a worthy New Year's resolution. Let's live wholeheartedly for the Lord. He deserves nothing less. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, you deserve nothing less. You deserve our full obedience, our full love, our full cherishing of you. You deserve that. Lord, we want to give that to you. In our broken way of doing this and in our silliness, we mess things up, but we want to do it and we need your help to do it. So Father, would you remove the false ideas that we're believing in about ourselves? Would you bring our gaze upon you? Oh Lord, I hesitate in asking this, but would you discipline us? You discipline us for your glory, that we would be genuinely worshiping you. That scares me, Lord, saying that. Increase our faith and our trust in you, that we would trust your direction, we would trust your discipline, that we would go quickly to you. Father, may you be glorified in our lives. This coming year, 2016, may we have tons of moments of glorifying you. This is our desire, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We are going to celebrate communion right now. So if the